The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. 64% of Texans support laws that protect gay, lesbian, transgender people from discrimination. That's according to the Public Research, a religion research institute. Yet a new report from Equality Texas details the many obstacles that still remain for the nearly 1 million LGBTQ plus individuals living in Texas. And it could become much, much worse if a battery of bills that were deemed necessary by Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick passed this legislative session. What concerns do you have about protecting the rights of the LGBTQ plus community in Texas? We want to hear you in our conversation. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to The Source at tpr.org and tweet at us at tprsource. We're joined today with State Senator Jose Menendez from here in San Antonio, District 26. Senator Menendez, welcome to The Source.
Hey, good to be on your show always, David. I love sharing with your listeners, and it's been a long day already. Got up at about 4 to get here for some early hearings in Austin.
A long day, one of many, I'm sure, in the session. Also with us, Samantha Smoot. She is the Executive Director for Equality Texas. And Robert Salcido, he's the Executive Director of the Pride Center San Antonio and a statewide field coordinator for Equality Texas. Great to have you both in our studio. Senator Menendez, how are things shaping up in the legislative session when it comes to the issues of equality for the LGBTQ plus community and more? But I know that you have filed bills to protect rights in this area.
Yeah, we've got 6 bills that I think would do a lot to help improve the situation. One, I want to address housing discrimination. I think also I'd like to address public accommodation discrimination and employment discrimination. I think that people should never fear that they could, where they live or whether they're hired or fired or where they can stay based on what they're, you know, whether they're gay or transgendered or a woman or whatever. It should be based on your job or what, you know, who you are. We've got to add some of these protections because right now people can be refused housing and people can be fired solely based on their sexual orientation. And that's also why I've also filed the gay and transsexual panic defense ban and the same-sex marriage recognition in order to update many sections of our code, some that still have a penal code with a homosexual offense in there.
What is the gay panic defense?
So what we're trying to do is that I want to amend the penal code to say that the use of force against another person is never justified based on the discovery of sexual orientation or gender identity. We've had criminal defendants successfully have used gay or trans panic defense to receive reduced sentences. In 2015, a case resulted in a criminal defendant receiving a reduced sentence. And rather than 2 to 10 years of jail time, he received 6 months of jail time and 10 years probation because he said that he panicked because he thought he was being, hit on, or he was in panic because of the person being gay or transgendered.
So let me sketch that out, what that sounds like to me. What you're saying is that an individual can assault another individual if that person feels like there's some sort of I don't like that person's sexual gender preferences, and then
they looked at me or the way they talked to me or something to that effect.
So I can hit them and or shoot them or whatever, or throw them in a river, and that's all okay.
And well, what you say is I panicked because I thought, you know, they were coming on or they were doing something to me. So it's been used as a weird defense, and I'm banning the use of that gay and transsexual panic defense. I mean, it's wrong. It's stupid, and we, you know, it is blatant discrimination.
But this isn't the first time you filed this.
No, it's not. And I'm going to continue filing them. You know, look, one of my favorite phrases that I use to get some of my frustration off my chest is elections have consequences. And the reason we're not be talking about the bathroom bill right now is because of the last election. So the next election that comes up, maybe this won't have to be something that bills that I file that may not get a hearing, and we can maybe stop talking about bad bills that are going to allow people to use their religion in order to discriminate against other people.
So that seems to be the thing. The good news is there is no bathroom bill. The bad news is for some people is that, well, there is a bathroom bill, but we don't. It's different now. It's more insidious, and it's in the weeds, but it's still there, and it could be much, much worse.
Yeah, well, I totally agree. At my last count, I think I counted about 7 horrible bills that would create in code the ability for people to discriminate, just saying that they have a sincerely held religious belief, and it would allow people like counselors to refuse patients. Would allow faith leaders and judges and magistrates to refuse to perform a marriage based on religious beliefs, or even a healthcare professional to refuse, except for life-saving care. And all of these things are just horrible, horrible ideas that we've got to stop.
When you say a sincerely held religious belief, help me understand what that is, and how do we establish someone has that?
Well, that's a good question. I don't understand when a religious belief and a moral conviction became a deciding factor in what a state will or will not allow. Our law should be based on what's best for all people, regardless of who they love.
Okay, let me talk to some of our guests here that we have here. Samantha Smoot is the executive director for Equality Texas. Where are you on what's happening right now? I'm sure you have some concerns about what's happening in the legislative session.
Yeah, we're very concerned about what's going on. I do want to pause, though, and thank Senator Menendez, because he's been a champion for so many years for standing up for what's fair and right and equal rights for all Texans, and we really appreciate that. This session is an interesting one because we are past that bathroom bill, which really dominated the session in 2017. Everyone remembers it was the session, then there was a special session. We defeated it twice. And the community and allies really mobilized to fight that thing because that was such a direct and mean-spirited assault against the LGBTQ community. And what we're seeing this session is a different dynamic. The opponents of equality, the extremists, still have a very similar agenda, but it is a little bit quieter in how they're pursuing it. And we're actually up to about 14 of these bills that would have harmful religious exemptions when you count in all of the House companions that were filed at the last minute before the filing deadline. And these bills are really insidious. You know, they would legally in the state of Texas create the right to impose a religious litmus test on your patients, on your customers, et cetera. And it is a dangerous and horrible road for us to go down. So this is a very difficult session for us. And it's very important for everybody who was concerned about the bathroom bill 2 years ago to start paying attention to what's going on this session and make their voices heard.
We're going to take a break. We're going to talk about all the effort. What was the coalition that came together to defeat the bathroom bill? Can that be replicated in this session for bills that are of a similar concern? And what do the people of Texas want? What do we know that they want? How do we know that? Is this really reflective of what people in the state actually want? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this break. Welcome Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about LGBTQ plus rights in the legislative session right now. What's happening? What kind of laws are being crafted that could impact the lives of people in our community? The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. What do you want to see happening with these laws being proposed? Now, there was research that was done trying to poll voters in Texas to find out what they want. And it was put together in a report for Equality Texas. And so, Samantha Smoot, can you tell me, what did y'all find?
Sure. Our report called the State of Equality really pulled together research that's been done nationally and on the Texas level that showed tremendous need for non-discrimination protections from the LGBTQ community, because our community, despite being better educated than average, really is not faring well on most indicators when it comes to economic opportunity, youth at risk, aging, healthcare access, etc. And so there's a big gap between the lived reality for most LGBTQ folks, and then the public support for equal rights, and specifically for non-discrimination protections, the kind that Senator Menendez is pursuing in the Texas Senate. And so the polling that's come out recently shows almost two-thirds of Texans support laws that would protect people from discrimination. And importantly, that majority holds across every demographic group in Texas, including now a majority of white evangelical voters support basic common sense non-discrimination laws to protect LGBTQ folks.
So that's the thing that people would stop people. Okay, full stop. Okay, white evangelicals would support protections of equality for LGBTQ. So you got to wonder, like, okay, how is this conducted? How was the question phrased?
Sure.
Was it tricky?
Yeah.
How did you know?
Yeah. No, that's certainly a fair question when you get a surprising result like that, a result that would indicate we've really turned a corner on support for equal rights. So here's the question. All in all, do you strongly favor, oppose, or strongly oppose laws that would protect gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people against discrimination in jobs, public accommodations, and housing? So a very straightforward question. And, you know, we had a majority, 57% of Republicans, 73% of Democrats supporting this legislation. And again, every religious group, ethnic racial group, and regional breakdown across the state of Texas. And this was a survey size, by the way, of 2,800 people. This is a big poll. So these are great results. It was done by a national independent nonprofit organization called Public Religion Research Institute, very well respected. And one of the points we're trying to make to lawmakers is, look, the data's in. The public supports non-discrimination protections. They want fairness to be the law of the land. And you don't have to be afraid of talking about these issues and facing your voters and your constituents. This has mainstream majority support.
Robert Salcido, he's executive director of the Pride Center San Antonio and statewide field coordinator for Equality Texas. Tell me what you hear when you see these results.
Definitely. So, you know, one of the opportunities that I have with Equality Texas is to travel the state and talk to people about these very issues and how it impacts them directly, whether we're talking about the economic opportunities that Sam just mentioned, or talking about their ability to attain their educational attainment or other things like that. And absolutely, while we see an increase in acceptance and we feel the increase in acceptance, the Texas laws do not match that. And that's one of the main reasons that we have to, and I reiterate, we have to incorporate comprehensive non-discrimination laws into the entire state. We have patchwork that is available throughout many communities, and it protects quite a bit of people, but the fact remains that it does not protect every LGBTQ person to live authentically and be themselves.
And just to scroll back just a little bit, when we say we were surprised that white evangelicals would be embrace this, and says, well, why wouldn't they? I mean, why wouldn't they embrace compassion and protections for everyone? I mean, it just makes sense, you know, but now maybe messaging is finally getting the signal from the noise is being separated and people are moving forward. But Senator Jose Menendez, you're a Democrat and you represent a vibrant and diverse constituency. But, you know, when you have your opponents who are on the other side of the aisle in the Texas Senate, they have a base that is not so diverse.
Okay. And so what is the question?
And so are they concerned? Are they listening to this, or they have a base that still, you know, hadn't gotten the memo?
You know, I that's an interesting question. I think that the last election sent some messages, and I think that there are fewer people on both sides of the aisle, as you know, I don't know of any on my side, but that are feeling like it's okay to discriminate against people. Look, I have two signs, one in the opening, the lobby where you come in, and one in my office that says, "My faith does not discriminate." I think that the reality is, you know, I mean, I like to sometimes use the words that people on the other side like to use against me at times, and I've heard many times, you know, God doesn't make any mistakes, and you know, if you truly believe that, then you shouldn't discriminate against anybody for any reason. And I think I just think that here in the state of Texas, we should be writing laws to protect and work for all Texans, and we need to stay out of people's personal lives. Whoever people want to love, whoever they want to, you know, marry, not marry, however they want to pray or not pray, that's up to them. Let's just work on keeping people safe. Let's work on quality of life in terms of the basics, having a good transportation, a great public education system, and then let people take care of their own lives on their own.
Let's go to the callers, 210-614-8980, for you to join our conversation as we talk about equality in Texas for all. And Natasha is on the line. Natasha, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, I am a lesbian woman married here in San Antonio. I am also a Christian in church every Sunday. And nothing about my faith says it's okay to discriminate. Jesus said, love your neighbor, not love your neighbor except this one and that one. And it's really sickening that our legislators are still trying to say, love your neighbor except this one and that one in the name of my faith.
And so, Samantha, Natasha, are you concerned about what could be passing in this legislative session? Have you been hearing about these things?
I'm extremely concerned because I know we have some LGBTQ employment protection here in San Antonio, and the state legislature is very gung-ho on making sure that local jurisdictions can't enact ordinances such as ours. And that puts me and my wife and my family at risk.
Natasha, thank you so much for the call. So let's pursue that. San Antonio does have a non-discrimination ordinance, other municipalities in Texas as well, but there is a bill in the legislature that would not allow cities to create these types of things. So Samantha Smoot, can you talk about what this bill is and what your concerns are?
Sure. The issue is called preemption, and because the bill would preempt municipalities' ability to provide certain kinds of protections for their local workers. Now, the real target, we believe, of the preemption legislation is actually the paid sick leave ordinances that have been passed in Austin and also in San Antonio. But of course, as Robert mentioned, currently about 20% of Texans are covered by a local non-discrimination ordinance that says you can't be evicted or fired or turned away just because of who you are or who you love, which otherwise in the state of Texas is still legal. So the preemption bill, there's one in the House and one in the Senate. The House version includes language that specifically says this does not impact negatively on any existing non-discrimination ordinance that a city has passed. In the Senate bill, however, they've stripped out that language. And so we're quite concerned that the Senate version opens the door for a municipality to not be able to provide the protections, especially when it comes to employment discrimination issues around benefits and leave and so forth, that they are now without that law passing.
Robert Salcido with the Pride Center San Antonio, Since San Antonio has adopted non-discrimination ordinance, has that really had an impact? Has that changed people's lives?
Absolutely. I mean, just really knowing that San Antonians are protected by local law to do patchwork for what should be done on a state level absolutely offers some stability when it comes to housing, when it comes to public accommodations. And it also offers stability for those that are in city employment or with a city contract, because the San Antonio ordinance, unfortunately, does not cover private employment at this time. That's one of the concerns with SB 15, with the language being stripped, is that San Antonio, that would prevent San Antonio from ever updating the ordinance to protect all LGBTQ folks here in our community.
Senator Menendez, I know that they can work magic with those legislative bills and have carve-outs and do certain sorts of whiz-bang language in there. Why so broad? Why not still have protections? I understand that many lawmakers are really don't like the sick leave stuff, but what about why do you have to fold in the equal protection stuff?
Well, let me first start out by saying I am 100% opposed to that bill. The bill they're talking about is Senate Bill 15. I am opposed to it. I've also got an amendment to re-establish the protection language, and so I don't know if the amendment will get on. Even if the amendment gets on, I will continue to be opposed to it. Look, I will continue to say that people shouldn't feel privileged to work somewhere with protections. The rights mm-hmm. should be the same for everyone across the board, period, the end. We shouldn't be having to pick, we have to feel like we can pick what employer will protect me and not fire me because I put up a picture of my family and my family doesn't look like a, quote, traditional family. You know, it should not matter. Your job performance should be the reason why you're either hired or fired, nothing else.
And when with the bathroom bill from the last session, that was beaten down because of support from the business community. Are we seeing, Senator Menendez, are they coming on board recognizing?
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up. There was a large corporation. I'm not at liberty to disclose who they are, but they're a large corporation that sells goods around the world in my office saying that unless they were kind of what you were talking about earlier. They were not thrilled about the paid sick leave, but they said they would be opposed to Senate Bill 15 unless the non-discrimination language was back in there. They don't want to see any weakening. They don't want to see any of these discriminatory bills, period, the end. And I said to them, I appreciate you telling me this, but I need you to go tell this all over the building. And I need to have all of the companies that do business here, that hire people here, top to bottom, make their voices heard, because sometimes it feels like their voices sometimes carry more weight with certain people in this pink building. I'm referring to the state capitol. But the problem is that we have got to make this a Texans don't support discrimination, and that's it. Equality for all means everyone, and not just those who we pick and choose.
So I understand there's like this corporation and they have a name that's the same as this big river in Brazil or in South America, and they're bringing a lot of jobs to Texas, or they're talking about bringing a lot of jobs to Texas, and this is something that may not thrill them and they may go someplace else. Is that what you're saying?
That's not the company I was talking about, but yes, I would assume that any enlightened corporation that wants to have good people working for them based on their productivity, their intellect, their knowledge, and the things that they bring to their business, that they would be opposed to that. I mean, I do remember at some point when we were having talks about the bathroom bill, other large companies that were saying, look, we're going to, you know, reconsider our expansion and the number of jobs we bring to Texas. Partly, they were saying, because it will hurt our ability to recruit people to move to Texas. And if you're a global company and you're trying to expand in San Antonio or Austin or Dallas or Houston, wherever, you need to be able to tell your people, your best and brightest, hey, I need you to move and open up a new branch of this here. without them knowing that they're going to be welcome, knowing that they're going to go into a state that's not going to discriminate against them.
It's all about the talent these days. And we want to hear from our callers. If you've got a question or a comment about these bills that challenge equality in Texas or some that would actually expand it, call in. We want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. A sincerely held religious belief, that's all it takes to be able to take the discriminatory action. And that is something that licensing agencies that oversee lots of things here in Texas, they would be allowed to exercise if bills are passed into law in this upcoming legislative session. Who would be subject to someone's sincerely held religious belief? That could be, it's a blob of a concept. It could grow and take shape into any hateful container that is poured into. Why is this allowed to exist? And what would be the actual legal test for something like that? And why is this being turned into a weapon against our LGBTQ plus community? The number to call in is 210-614-8980 as we look at some of these critical bills that are working their way through the legislature. Some are in favor of expanding rights and protections and holding up people for allowing them the equal rights, and other ones would curtail that. 210-614-8980. Senator Jose Menendez, we've talked about this before, about the sincerely held religious belief, but you know that doesn't just get limited to people who have a misunderstanding about the LGBTQ plus community. That could be anyone.
Correct. I mean, these bills create a separate but equal system in the state of Texas. They create hate and divisiveness within our society. And the thing is, they create a dangerous precedent for everyone, for anybody. I mean, you know, what's to say that if you had could you use a sincerely held religious belief that people who don't have your same faith are dangerous and therefore you must hurt them or get rid of them? Could you have at what point does your sincerely held religious belief create a system, a situation where you could exert your belief, you could impose it on someone in a way that's harmful to that person?
This is the type of understanding that was used to support Jim Crow back in the day. And what we're talking about now is creating a new Jim Crow, which would impact our LGBTQ plus community. Samantha Smoot, is that overstating?
You know, I think that you're hitting at the crux of the matter, which is it's using religion as a justification for legalizing discrimination and creating this kind of religious litmus test, which is really a terrible road to go down and would create so much harm, certainly for the LGBTQ people who are the target of this effort, but not just the LGBTQ community, by the way. These laws, one could have a sincerely held religious belief against other non-Christian religions. In South Carolina, where there's a measure like this in place, a Catholic woman was refused from an adoption agency because she wasn't the right kind of Christian. And it's not really taking it too far to think that an unmarried couple could be turned away from a hotel. A mom who is unmarried could be not served. Or even the thing that concerns us most, to be honest, about these bills, many of them affect the healthcare professions and would allow a doctor, a nurse, an emergency medical technician to legally refuse to treat someone because they didn't, they had some personal religious issue with those people. This is a terrible, terrible thing for us to be considering right now. We should be going in the opposite direction of this. And, you know, I don't think, as the earlier caller mentioned, you know, love thy neighbor and do unto others. Those are religious values, not pick and choose who you're going to treat or who you're going to serve.
Let's go to the callers, 210-614-8980. Akeem is on the line. Hi, Akeem. Thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hi. I just want to comment. If really the majority of Texans really believe that that bigotry is wrong, then we need to change our votes. And 2020 is coming up very, very soon. If we don't want our legislator pushing these bigotry, these laws that are full of bigotry and discrimination, and having Texas represented by people like Greg Abbott and Ken Paxton that are pushing these ideas on us and us being represented by these people, people need to wake up. And it's not just about party affiliation. It's about what we truly believe. If you really believe that discrimination is wrong, then you're going to have to change your vote, or we're going to keep getting put in this situation where Texas and Texans are misrepresented on a statewide level, and it's just disappointing. It upsets me, and people need to take a stand. And it's like I said, it's not about party affiliation. It's about whether you believe in bigotry or not, whether you believe in discrimination or not.
All right, Akeem, thank you for the call. Senator Jose Menendez, now, Texas for a long time has been a deep red state, and that has made the calculus for people who will run for office. They will only have to basically win the Republican primary in many parts of Texas, not you since you're a Democrat and you represent this area, but this has given people who vote in primary elections for the Republican Party a lot of power and a lot of voice when it comes to crafting policy for the entirety of the state. But now, as we're hearing a lot of chatter about 2020 and the shifting demographics, that Texas could become more purple than red. So do you think that we're coming up to a time where that type of thinking is no longer going to work and get people elected, particularly if voters pay attention to these types of issues?
I think the last midterm election sent a very loud message that voters are paying attention. They're going to participate. I think that the record turnout that we saw is a precursor to what we're going to see in 2020. I think the last caller illustrated better the frustration that people are feeling, and that they're just tired of people sort of taking advantage. I think redistricting is one of the worst things that we've ever done, and the gerrymandering that we've done. And you were alluding to packing these districts, where you pack districts with, you know, an overwhelming number of people of one party or the other party, so that the only thing that matters is your primary. And I think that damages the conversation where most people want to have, which is more of what's best for all Texans, which, you know, means a general election matters, you know, because that's where I think we could make some changes. But last election cycle, midterm, 12 House districts in the Texas House were flipped, and they're only nine seats away from, you know, flipping control from Republican to Democrats in 2020. Typically presidential elections, Democrats tend to turn out more. And I think with these changes, and I think the caller had it right, it shouldn't be a partisan issue. And I have a lot of friends who are Republican who don't believe in these discriminatory things, but it just so happens that I don't have any Democratic friends that believe in this. So, you know, I hope one day that no one in any political party believes in discriminating in any way, shape, or form, using whatever excuse for it. But I think that next election, 2020, if you're fed up with politicians not talking about what matters to you, then get out and do something about it.
The other thing about 2020, it's also a redistricting year. So if that were to happen and the legislature were to flip and switch, then they would have a large voice in trying to change the election map in Texas, Senator?
Correct. That's correct. And I filed a bill that mirrors what Colorado and California are doing in terms of taking redistricting out of the hands of the politicians. Because, look, gerrymandering is not something that's just been done by Republicans. It was done by Democrats as well. It's done by politicians who want to pick and choose their constituents rather than having the voters picking and choosing their elected officials. I would rather see us not have these weird-looking districts that look like spaceships or fajitas or whatever, that to have communities of interest combined in one district so that, let's say, for example, Travis County and Austin isn't split into five congressional districts. You know, that we all have a majority of our community represented by one person, therefore they can speak for a majority of our community with one voice.
Let's go to the phones with Sam. And Sam, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
So I just wanted to make a comment on the absurdity of this law, how it could be turned around, and we could have Sharia law upheld by a doctor or a lawyer or whoever, the mechanic, and not, you know, take a woman in whose car is broken down, for instance, because she's not covered. But that's the absurdity of this law, that we don't look at it on both sides of that coin. And if they want to have a business or practice medicine in a public facility, they have to obey the law. It's not up to us to tell somebody what to believe, how to be. Just do your job. And if you want to do otherwise, then have it totally private. And only people that believe that go to that business or that hospital or that dentist or whatever it may be.
All right, Sam, thank you so much for the call. Really quickly, can you give me a reaction to Sam's call, Samantha Smoot from Equality Texas?
Sure. I think Sam makes a good point. And, you know, religious freedom is a value we all share, and it's been well established. And we've settled this a long time ago in our country. Religious freedom means the right to believe and practice your faith as you wish, but it doesn't mean the right to impose your own religious beliefs on someone else.
All right, we're going to take a break. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. We'd like to hear from you in our on-air conversation as we talk about equality in Texas. What bills are on the floor right now that Equality Texas would oppose, would be detrimental to the LGBTQ plus community and others? Which bills do they support? What should you be watching as the legislature continues? We're halfway through the legislative session. Now things are going to be getting interesting. Interesting up there. Again, the number is 210-614-8980. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about what some bills that are up in the legislature, what's catching the eye of people who care about the LGBTQ community, which should be everyone. What are some positive bills and some other bills that are up there? Give us a call, 210-614-8980. Tell us what you think. Now, frequently we hear the story of a guy, he's a baker, he's a Christian, he makes wedding cakes. He doesn't want to make a cake with two grooms on the top because it offends his personal beliefs about, you know, appropriateness of marriage equality. Why can't I be that guy, Samantha Smoot? What's wrong with that?
Well, I just want to mention, we hear about that guy, and the other one we hear about a lot is the pharmacist who refuses to dispense birth control or Plan B. And I think that's important to note because it's really not about a wedding cake. It's about the principle of picking and choosing who you're going to be open to based on imposing a religious litmus test. And our concern is less about a cake baker. Our concern is more about, first of all, the message that this sends, that it's legal to pick and choose and discriminate against LGBTQ folks, but also the bills that are before the Texas legislature aren't about bakeries. They're about healthcare professionals. One bill that seems to be moving in the Senate would allow anybody licensed by the state of Texas to legally discriminate based on a sincerely held religious belief. So I worry a little bit that the cake is a bit misleading. This is actually about people who need real access to healthcare services, people who could be turned away by the only lawyer in the town, or people who could be given damaging information by a local counselor, for example. These bills have very real consequences and would hurt people.
This one about refusing medical care. So SB 1107, These would allow healthcare professionals to refuse all but life-saving care based on sincerely held religious belief without requiring a referral to another provider. How do you decide what is not life-saving care? Because generally by the time I get to the doctor, it's like I'm on my deathbed because I mean, a lot of that's the way it is here in Texas, since we, you know, it's so expensive and so hard to get into the doctor's office. It's got to be pretty important. But you know, so Senator Jose Menendez, tell me about this bill.
Well, I think it's ridiculous, and it's just all of these things that are going to create a separate system in the state of Texas. All they do is, in my opinion, further foster and nurture and fan the flames of divisiveness and in some cases hatred in our society. I think if you decided to go into the healthcare profession, you decided to go heal people, to heal someone based on whatever is hurting them, to treat them. I don't think you know, as a person, you wouldn't go into that profession to choose to say, I only heal certain people. And I think that, as the caller said earlier, he said, you know, if you're going to have that, we as a state should not, definitely not create a system that of laws that give you the basically, what we're saying here is not that we can't help you; it's that we just don't want to help you, and so that's what these laws would do.
Are doctors clamoring for this? Is the Texas Medical Association? What do they say about it?
No, absolutely not. We have not. I have not heard for one doctor, one nurses group, any groups whatsoever say, please do this. I mean, maybe they're out there and they're just not coming to my office because they know I would, you know, not have anything supportive to say in terms of that. As a matter of fact, on my conversion therapy ban that I filed, Senate Bill 1251, I have the support of many medical groups, American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, pediatrics. I mean, just virtually every doctor's group is saying that this conversion therapy on minors can increase the risk of suicide, depression, and the increase the use of illegal drugs. And so, no, all of the medical groups seem to be supportive of not doing this. So I don't understand why we're entertaining this kind of legislation.
Back to the phones with Katie, 210-614-8980. Katie, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I was actually thinking about this morning as I was driving to work about how I need to contact my state representative for my district here in San Antonio because my family is being discriminated against because of the way the law is written in Texas about adoption and obtaining legal rights to children. A lot of people don't know this, but in Texas, a male is automatically deemed the legal guardian of a child that his wife has, even if there's no biological connection. However, the same rights are not afforded to females. So my wife has to go through a legal adoption phase, and we have to spend several thousands of dollars to do that so that she can have legal rights over my daughter.
Yeah. Katie, I'm sorry to hear that, but I think that's a great illustration about how laws can be crafted in these legislative sessions meant to trip people up who are trying to provide high-level care to children in need. So, Samantha Smoot, in the last legislative session, there was a law that was passed that allows state agencies or agencies that receive state funds to discriminate against LGBTQ folks who want to provide adoption services or foster care services.
Yeah, this law passed, and it's such a shame because it hurts children. It allows state-funded adoption and foster care agencies to legally refuse to include LGBTQ folks as prospective parents. And we know that the people who are hurt here are children in need of permanent families. But I want to say a note to Katie, the caller. Katie, you're absolutely right. It is really terrible and kind of ridiculous that LGBTQ families are not mentioned in the Texas Family Code anywhere. And so there there have been laws, bills filed to just clean up the family code to include our families so that the family code system can work for all families in Texas, including ones like yours, Katie, and it's time to get those laws passed.
But to the point that there are couples who can provide awesome care, lots of love, stability to children who need that. Mm-hmm. And because these are couples with the same gender, that somehow is a barrier, even though there is no evidence to show that that's going to harm those children. In fact, it could be very beneficial.
Yeah, you're exactly right, David. In fact, I met a couple last week from Austin. They had started working with an adoption agency, and the adoption agency had told them, well, to qualify, you have to have been married for a certain number of years. Well, that agency used that as a way to screen same-sex couples because marriage had not been legal in time for them to be married.
Yeah, we didn't have marriage equality.
That's right.
Under that. So I wanted to, we got a tweet from Ashley from the San Antonio Gender Association. What support do you sense for bills that would ban so-called conversion therapy on minors? If there is no statewide ban, could this happen at the municipal level? So Senator Jose Menendez, this is your thing.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm so sorry. I
know you're a busy guy.
we're trying to get some work done up here. Yeah. Sorry about that.
So banning conversion therapy, how much support is that going to get?
You know what? If you talk to the experts are all 100% on board with this. When I say experts, I mean the Academy of Child and Adult Psychiatry, Pediatrics, the Association of Marriage and Family Therapy, College Physicians. I mean, people who are professionals in helping people, emotionally, mentally, therapists, physically, all say, you've got to ban this. This is ridiculous. This is harmful to minors, and it can increase that risk of suicide. So we're waiting. We are asking. I'm looking forward to the debate on this and all the other bills because I think, you know, we're standing on the high ground, and I think we'd have people that would come and testify and say how harmful, if they've been through this, how harmful this has been to them, or how fearful they are of being who they are. Because that someone might put them through some sort of conversion therapy. And I think this is 2019, you know, this isn't the 1930s or 20s and we're evolved. We should be evolved. We should be intelligent enough to know that you can't change someone how they were born, you know, and we're all born differently. And if people want to use their faith, I hope they go back to that, you know, thing that I hear all the time from folks. God doesn't make mistakes. So it doesn't mean that someone needs to be converted, you know. If they're born that way and that's the way they are, that's the way they are. Leave them alone.
Now, when people say, well, these are bills that have been put up to help politicians with their base, but when there are bills with numbers like SB 17 and SB 9, which is another thing having to do with, and then SB 15, that means these were given fast-track authority by the lieutenant governor, right? So he wants these things passed.
Yeah, traditionally, the first, sometimes it's 20, sometimes it's 30 or 40. I don't know what the cutoff. I've never had one of these super low numbers, but they're the ones that are reserved in the Senate by lieutenant governor and in the House by the speaker. Traditionally, you know, it makes sense if you're talking about the budget for it to be SB 1 or House Bill 1 because that's the only bill we have to pass constitutionally. And then other things that they deem very important have these low numbers. You know, that I've seen a lot of low number bills not pass.
So these bills have a lot of weight. There's some momentum behind it, but it's going to take organization and communication and outreach in order to get the will of the people actually to the floor of the Texas legislature. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us this afternoon, Senator Jose Menendez and also Samantha Smoot with Equality Texas and Robert Salcido, Pride Center, San Antonio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.